Well, that was an introduction to the amazing organization that we had the privilege of working alongside in Uganda this summer. 25 years ago, I actually toured with the African Children's Choir all over North America, and that at that time was choir number 10, and they were from Kenya. And then just 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to take my oldest son, Tyler, where's Tyler? There he is, to Uganda and Kenya for a reunion trip, which was an amazing experience. And it was at that time that the doors opened up for us to bring a team from KRBC back to Uganda to serve the children there. And so it was about a year ago when we began recruiting for this mission trip. And I remember actually at the annual church picnic that we had just last week, I remember that Matt and I were kind of doing the full court press on the Armstrongs to go to Africa with us. Do you remember that, Rick? And he wasn't so sure about this, but as you'll hear later, and as you can probably imagine, the team just wouldn't have been the same without Rick and Lori. In fact, every team member was destined to be there, and it was a great thing. But you also remember last year on New Year's Day, we got to host the African Children's Choir. How many of you went bowling with us on New Year's Eve? A number of us did. And that choir was actually choir number 46, I'm sorry. And if those of you trying to do the math, I was choir 10, that was 46. Thankfully, they do take more than one choir a year. So our team met for several months as we prepared for our mission time. We prayed and we basically had to come up with the ideas of what we were going to do while we were there. And the Lord led us to do a VBS-style day camp over there with the children. And as we considered possible themes for that day camp, one theme just kind of rose to the top, and that was the ropes theme. And if you've been around KRBC for any length of time, you know what ROPE stands for. We can all say it together, right? R is for? O is for? I gave it away. P? E? S? That's right. Well, so we thought, you know, we've got a saying around here that says, disciples of Christ know the ropes, right? That these are all aspects of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so we went over there to pass that on to the children in the African Children's Choir, as well as some of the other schools that we visited. And we divided our team up into five different groups, and those became the rotations for our day camps. And I'm going to name those groups, and team members, you can stand up and turn around, let them see who you are. But we had the sports team. And we had the health team. One of our health team members isn't here today. Dave's wife, Diana, couldn't make it, but Fideli and Diana are both nurses. And then we had the music team. And then we had the discipleship team. And lastly, we had the team building team. And I was a part of that one as well. You'll notice Rick actually did double duty. So I'll give you a quick example of how we integrated the ropes theme into all of these activities. We basically decided that anything that we did really needed to emphasize at least one of the aspects of being a disciple of Christ. So, for example, in the team building one of our activities was a bit of a riddle. Well, not a bit. It was a riddle that had a physical component to it. And we told the children that they were all farmers and that they had a job to do. They had to plant 5 rows of 4 trees. And, you know, at first they thought, well, that's easy. I can plant 5 rows of 4 trees. And I said, but here's the catch. I'm only going to give you 10 seedlings to do that in. So the children were doing the math, and they were thinking, I don't know how we're going to get 5 rows of 4 trees with only 10 seedlings. And so they, you can imagine, they struggled. I see some of your wheels turning right now. And they were struggling to do that. And, you know, as time went on, we'd give them a little bit more hints. And eventually, toward the end of the day, the older kids started figuring it out without many hints. But the idea was to put your lines in the shape of a star, and so that one tree could be in several different or a couple different lines. So anyway, the whole point of that exercise was a team building exercise because they had to work together, but it was also to show them that obedience to God sometimes seems impossible. God might ask us to do something that we just think this is impossible. You know, you might think that we don't have enough resources to do what God's asking us to do, either resources in ourselves or physical resources. But if God asks you to do something, it is possible, and he will make a way where there seems to be no way. So that would be an example of how we shared the ropes, in that case, the letter O for obedience, with the children. So to help you better understand how our time in Africa went, I'm just going to go over this a little bit with you. Day one, we had orientation to life in Uganda, and we also got to meet the children of the African Children's Choir Primary School, and that is Tyler holding a chicken. We did a scavenger hunt. Actually, Fideli held the chicken too, and Tammy. I have a picture of Tammy holding the chicken. And day two, we went to the Music for Life Center, which is run by the African Children's Choir, and the name of their school was the Important School. And then we did some home visits in the city of Kampala, where we divided up and got to go visit some of the children's homes. Then on day three, we did a day camp at African Children's Choir Primary School. Day four, we did day camp again at the primary school. And then five of our team members traveled, how many hours? 9 hours, 8 hours north to northern Uganda to the city of Adjumani, and they were visiting a refugee settlement there. And on day five, we got to attend church and actually lead the service. And so that some of our team were up north, and the rest of us were in Entebbe. And then day six, we were at the day camp at Rock Church, or actually Bethel Rock Church in Kampala. And then day seven through nine, we got a little break, which was a great blessing for us. And we are actually on the Nile River there with hippos and crocodiles. And you might find this interesting, but our tour guides who took us up to the Nile River were both named Moses. And then on day 10, we did another day camp at African Children's Choir Primary School. So that is just an overview of our time there. And now Lori's going to come and share a little bit.
I get the opportunity to, and everyone will get a little snippet of an opportunity to say, what's the one thing you'll never forget about going to Africa? And quite frankly, when I read the email from Amy, I'm like, are you kidding me? One? We're only allowed to pick one? Because the reality is, the amount of things that I saw, I got to do, and I got to see God do is unbelievable. Whew. But I picked just one, and the one thing that I will never forget is helping the African Children's Choir develop their testimonies. As you know, Karen just said we were going through ropes, and we were on our second day that Karen just showed, and we were focusing on evangelism, and we were teaching them what does evangelism look like, what does it mean, and we were helping them prepare in order to share their faith. One of the Bible verses that we shared with them was 1 Peter 3:15, and it says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everybody who asks you to give the reason for the hope and joy that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." And that verse just resonated. Because after being there, the joy that these children have is literally oozing out of them. It's unmistakable. And the reality is, when we were talking to these children, we're like, yeah, we know that you're here in your area here at the church. But the reality is, you're going home. You eventually are going to graduate from this school. And all these people that are living in poverty, well, And quite frankly, there's such a stark contrast because the poverty and these joy that these children have, it's the perfect platform for God to use. So as they go home, they're going to have the opportunity to share with their friends, with people that they come in contact with, and their family members. So Matt and I, on that day, we had the opportunity to give some personal life testimonies to kind of get the kids' wheels turning as to what they might want to share. And the reality is we told the kids, it can either be your conversion moment, maybe that's what you want to share, or maybe it's a moment in time that God did something awesome for you that you remember. And what we got the opportunity to do then is to help them individually write every single one of their testimonies. And you're probably thinking, oh, just the older kids. Absolutely not. First grade, which I have a little first grader, all the way up to sixth grade, every single child wrote out their testimony. 3-4 sentences, something like that. And then we asked them, who would like to share their testimony? And that was one of the most shocking things. Their hands went up like I was handing out candy. That doesn't happen here, right? Like when, if Karen were to say from the pulpit or Pastor Rick, hey, who would like to share their testimony? How many of us would be like, oh, dude, pick me. That is exactly what these kids did. And it was awesome. It was a huge blessing. I was encouraged listening to them give their testimonies. And quite frankly, we had 45 minutes with each class, and we ran out of time because all of them wanted to share their testimonies. So on Sunday, as we were leading the service, we incorporated that. And guess what? The same thing happened. They were all eagerly now wanting to share their testimony with every single person within that school. And it just really, it was amazing to see that. Also, as part of the Uganda team, every single one of us made our testimony before we ever left. And we all needed to share our testimony with our own teammates. And God used that. Some of us shared them there. My testimony that I wrote here, I didn't share in Uganda. I shared it before I ever left. I shared it with a very close friend, and it was wonderful to see God use that and give me the courage to say it and be ready to do it. My prayer is that I will jump up and raise my hand whenever God opens the door for me to give my testimony, that I will be as excited as those little children to say, I can hardly wait to tell you what God has done in my life every day and from here on out. So that is the one thing that I will never forget.
The one thing I will never forget, and like Lori said, the joy that was on those African children's faces. But it wasn't just when they were at church service or just when they were praising God and doing fun activities with us. It was when they did their chores daily. They washed their clothes. They had to separate the beans for their week of eating, and they had to do the dishes. But no matter what they were doing, they did it with a smile on their face, just like in that picture. And it was just the most beautiful thing.
One thing I will never forget is my trip to Adjumani. I will never forget the Lord's presence that I felt that Sunday morning as his people was worshiping him with three different languages under one roof. And I thought to myself that, oh, thank God for this glimpse of heavens I saw today.
And I'll never forget seeing...
Hold on, Amy, let me help you out.
Who invited him?
Karen did.
She I know, it's her fault.
Sorry.
Well, I'll never forget seeing how God equipped this teacher who was determined to educate and positively impact her students. There were around 50 students in her class. Half were Ugandan, and the other half were South Sudanese refugees. And she spoke three languages in order to reach them all.
The one thing I'll never forget is how the children of Africa completely immerse themselves in whatever they're doing. whether it was communicating with you, whether it was singing, dancing, or worshiping the Lord. They fully committed themselves to the moment. And truly, it inspired me to not only expect more from myself, but expect more from those who I teach.
I'll never forget sharing my testimony with all the kids and learning to drum.
I'll never forget the team. When God chooses people, He has a mission for each one of them. And it was just a joy to be a part of that mission, from the youngest to the oldest. And to look around, oops. Anyhow, it was amazing. And if your heart is being tugged for the hurricane mission trip, really be open to that. Because when my heart was being tugged for this mission trip, I could not see how I could be of any value. But God uses us in the way that He has the plan, and He will use you in that plan as well.
Amen. Well, I will never forget hearing the sound of a classroom full of children playing the ukuleles that we brought, and they were singing the song Cornerstone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. And I was just out in the field doing a team building activity at that time, and the sound of these children and the ukuleles just filled that whole campus. It was a beautiful thing to hear.
I'll never forget all the kids screaming with joy at the primary school.
Of all the great experiences that we had there and that I will remember forever, the thing that I cannot forget is the first words that I heard from a guard in the Adjumani refugee settlement security checkpoint as I, the only light-skinned person in the area, was being interviewed before we could pass. Of course, I'm nervous and wondering what she's going to ask. Her question was, "Did you bring a Bible?" Yes, I did. I opened it for her. She read several verses, perfect English, perfect understanding, and said, "I would really like to talk to you about this." So the presence of the Lord is real there. The hunger for the word is real. And thank God.
Do you have audio on this video? No, no audio. All right, we'll move on to the slides.
I'll never forget the way that a hug got beyond any kind of language barrier whatsoever. The kids were so willing to meet you and greet you, even though they'd never laid eyes on you before, but they always were right there for a hug. This was at a school that was in a very poverty-stricken area, and the kids just welcomed us and came up to us and were just, you know, we were strangers to them, but you know what? We weren't.
I'll never forget walking into the two-room shack that wasn't much bigger than maybe half of the side of that, and having all those bananas that they were selling, and just rock floor, maybe two chairs, and like a little stove.
Oh, there's so many things I'll never forget, but the one that sticks out was the church service we had on Sunday morning at the primary school there, and this little girl steps right up, climbs over everybody to get up to the front, grabs a mic, and leads everybody in song and everything. That was a pretty amazing moment.
One thing I'll never forget is our last day at the Children's Choir Center, which was very sad because we were leaving them, and they really did not want us to leave. They sang us. They have a song that they sing their visitors when they leave, blessing us, and it was really emotional because we were all around the campfire, all the children laying their hands on us and singing that we would have a safe trip home and be blessed.
Thank you, everybody, for sharing little glimpses of your story. I told you that we are going to be sharing we shared the ropes, and Dave and I wrote a theme song for our time, and you'll never guess the title, Ropes. So we're going to sing that with you and teach you it. I think some of you may have heard this on our send-off. We've got another video there. There's a picture of the children jumping for joy when our bus arrived the first time at the school. It was an amazing experience. Anyway, so the song is called Ropes, and when we get to the bridge in the song, I'll let you know when that is, but this side of the room, from here over, is going to say the first word, like the category, so you're going to say relationships. And then this side is going to say, I'm never alone, okay? So we'll go back and forth, and then this one will go, obedience, God's on the throne. Prayer, I'll talk, then listen. Evangelism, the Great Commission. Scripture, your word is wisdom. And the words are up there. I didn't expect you to memorize that. They will be up there when we get to the part of the song. So Jojo and Colson, you want to come up a little bit here? Because these were part of our worship leaders on Sunday morning. Am I forgetting? And Braden, come around the mic here, honey. No? Okay. Here. So hit it, Dave. You can put your hands together. For singing that with us. I know that part was, we need a little more practice on that, don't we? It came at us very quickly. Anyways, well, the team's going to sit down now, and I'm going to introduce you to one of our hosts in Africa. We had an amazing team of hosts. I mean, just served us so well and took care of our every need. They were amazing. And this is actually Barnett on the right. Yes, on the right is what he looks like now. On the left is what he looked like when he was in one of the first African children's choir. And if all goes well, Barnett is actually here with us today on FaceTime. So we'll just give a second here. Coming in live from Uganda. It takes a little bit of time to like cross the ocean. Took about 24 hours for us to fly over there. It's amazing, isn't it? That
hello.
Hello, Barnett. Lord, we pray for a good connection. Can you hear us, Barnett?
Hello, it's on my end.
I can hear you. We can't see you yet.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me? There he is.
Can you get off?
You changed shirts, Barnett. We were talking with him earlier today already. He was coming from a soccer game. Hi, Donna. Barnett, are you still with us? I'm told that I'm the only one he can hear once we've made a connection. So if I ramble, you'll know why. Barnett, can you hear us? All right. Well, we will. Are we still trying? I think we're still trying. Well, I'll just share a little bit about Barnett. He, like I said, he was in part of the one of the earlier African children's choirs, and he was just an amazing host. He just loves all the kids, doesn't he? I mean, everywhere we went, they knew Uncle Barnett. They called him something else, though. I can't remember. Well, Barty, but then there was some other name had something. And what did that mean, Harry? Angry Beard. So all the kids had some fun names for him. He was just the most amazing personality, took care of us so well. And he was so grateful for what he wanted to share with us today, is just how grateful he was.
Hey, hello.
Hello. Thank you for saving
beautiful.
Me. Can you go ahead and share with us, Barnett?
Hello, hello.
Just go ahead and say something, Barnett.
Hello, hello.
Well, he was going to play his ukulele because he was actually, we took 34 ukuleles over there and left them there, and I think Barnett took one because he really enjoyed playing them. But what he wanted to share with us today is just his appreciation and his thanks for this church, for being part of sending the team over there. You know, sometimes we wondered, were we going to make any kind of a difference whatsoever? And the message that we got over and over again was how much everybody enjoyed having us over there. They said it just breathed new life into their schools, that the teachers received a break. They were very energized. The kids learned a lot. At one point during the day camp, they just asked the teachers to just rotate through all of our activities because they were so excited to learn some new ways of doing things. And it was just very humbling to see what our visit really meant to them. And they're asking us to please come again, send another team, because this really makes a difference. And so he wanted to tell you thanks, and thanks to our team. And also to thank you for being a part of contributing to the African Children's Choir Training Center that we got to see firsthand. And wasn't that an amazing facility? So great. They're training choir number 48. I went off today. Choir number 48, who will be coming to America very soon. So unfortunately, you didn't get to meet Barnett, or just very briefly. But anyway, we will move on to what is next? I'm to Amy.
One thing we didn't see there was much technology, which could be a blessing at times, right? It's great because we get to talk across the world, but sometimes it's rough when it doesn't work. So anyways, as you saw in the overview that Karen provided, about midway through the trip, there were five of us who split off from the team to travel up north to Adjumani. You can see that in the orange up there. It's at the very top of Uganda, just on the border of Uganda and South Sudan. And so there are 223,000 South Sudanese refugees living in that area in the northern part of Uganda. And they have fled South Sudan because the country is in turmoil. The president and the vice president are fighting, and it's caused all this trouble, and people are having to flee the country for safety. And Uganda is a country that knows a little bit about this kind of infighting. They endured a very similar thing many years ago, and they lived through that situation. But by the grace of God, Uganda is Barnett back? You fill us in, Barnett. No, okay. We'll just keep going. But yeah, Uganda is stable, and they have welcomed these refugees, and they're providing land for them to settle. You know, typically you hear about refugee camps, right? And you picture this like crowded tent village. When we got to Uganda, that's not what we saw. We saw that they actually call them settlements, refugee settlements in Uganda. And so the folks who moved into there were encouraged to build huts and plant crops. So it's kind of like Uganda said to those herding from South Sudan, they said, welcome, please make yourselves at home here, which is really awesome. So the Lord has assembled this really amazing team of his followers who work to welcome and serve. You can hit the next slide. Welcome and serve refugees in Adjumani. So it's called the ministry. It's the Ministry of Hope and Grace International. And it was started by Americans Gary and Louise Short. And they're just now working towards handing this ministry over to Ugandan and South Sudanese leaders, like the two men who are pictured there. Each of the men that you see there, as well as several others, serve as pastors in these settlement churches. And that's a picture of the settlement church that a few of us were worshiped in that Sunday that we were there. So those men and the workers who are working to in those churches in the refugee settlements, they're bringing the gospel. They're bringing hope, help, and peace to the South Sudanese in the midst of their suffering and difficulty. And while we were there, as Karen already shared a little bit, we had the opportunity to engage in the community, particularly by participating in the church service, as well as playing with children, of which there are many, 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 many in the refugee settlements. So we teamed up with the five of us. So if you were on the Adjumani team, just stand up real quick so they can kind of see who was. Oh, Dave there. Okay. And Diana, Dave's wife, Diana, went with us. So you can see her pictured there. She does exist. There she is. So we teamed up with two of the staff people from the African Children's Choir, as well as, and it wasn't Barnett. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so we teamed up with two staff members from. Hi, Barnett. No, it was Abraham. Do you have Abraham there? No. Oh, he's there.
Donna. I can't hear them in the church. I cannot hear the church. Hello, church.
Hi, Barnett. How are you?
Somehow connection. It's not your party. Oh, I think whenever they try to go live.
I hear Isaac too.
Who?
Barnett, are you still there?
Oh man, we had one. Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Play a song for us, Barnett. Can you play for us?
Hear the church.
All right. Well, it was good seeing you, Barnett. Maybe we'll do this again.
Another day.
All right.
We'll just have to give up on that now.
Yeah,
we'll try to introduce you properly to Barnett in another time. Maybe he'll come here. Bye, Barnett. Okay, no. So anyways, back to Adjumani. So the five of us went with these two staff people and three university students from the African Children's Choir. And they were pictured there by the tree. Yeah, there they are. One of the things that was really cool is how we saw the vision of the African Children's Choir really working full circle. So as you see there, it says African Children's Choir's vision is helping Africa's most vulnerable children today so they can help Africa tomorrow. And you know, these three students that are pictured there, they were helped by being selected to join a choir several years ago. And they're now receiving their education at university level. And we've seen them already be super passionate about helping others. So we've seen that vision just working full circle in through those students, as well as just the tiniest ones that we saw at the training academy. So, and each of these three university students hope to continue to serve those in need as they work alongside that Hope and Grace International Ministry to proclaim Jesus to the South Sudanese. So.
So when I was asked to share and everything, I was like, where do I begin? Because there is just so much to talk about and tell about and everything. So I had a little bit of difficulty narrowing it down. But I guess I kind of start with the reasons I went in the first place and how I got involved. So there's really two reasons. One is I wanted to continue kind of in the same line of work in youth ministry. As I was doing with the soccer guys and the Thursday night program we had here for a while. Now that program has ended, but all those kids kind of came from that part of the world. So the minute I saw it in the bulletin, I was like, I'm in, this is happening. And then by the time we left the service, Braden's hopping in the car and I said, guess what? We're going to Uganda. So, and that was my second reason for going, is because I wanted to get my daughter involved. So that she can kind of experience some of the things that I experienced in doing missions and, you know, doing the Lord's work as I was growing up and around her age. So, you know, those were my two main drivers and everything there. And both reasons for going ended up being spot on. And I'll kind of talk a little bit about my time there. My responsibility on the trip was working with the sports and activities with the different classes at the African Children's School there in Tebe. And so we did things like capture the flag, soccer, of course, and tire ball, which was a unique spin on kickball that we improvised while we were there, and that was pretty awesome. But with each activity, we tied in the lesson on ropes, which was the overall theme of our time there. And on one day, we focused on the Owen ropes, which was obedience, correlated it to following the rules of the game, and how obedience applies to our walk with Christ and its impact on our lives. Another day, we focused on what it means to run the race. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25, it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They, non-believers, do it to get a crown that will not last, but we as believers do it to get a crown that will last forever. And so kind of the theme there around competition and everything that we were doing is that we need to train just like any professional athlete does. And the way we train is with ropes, right? It's the relationships, obedience, and things like that. And then on the third day, and our last day with the group, we focused on the S in ropes, which stands for Scripture, and discussed the importance of Scripture. And we talked about Joshua 1:8. Where it says, study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night, so that you will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And so the important thing there that I really want to share is to start off that discussion on that day, we ask the kids what it means to prosper and succeed in their lives, and what that meant, and what their aspirations were. And their answers were totally amazing. Like you saw in the earlier video piece was talking about being a social worker. We had some say they wanted to be scientists and doctors and teachers, but all their reasoning behind what they wanted to do was completely God-centered. And it was just awesome. And it's just a testament to the organization that we were working with, their Music for Life. They have a process and a plan in place that's just impacting the country, impacting those children's lives, and everybody that they're going to talk to and touch to throughout their life. One great example of that was, and I'm not sure if we have the pictures, but there's a young man there named Matthew, and he pulled me aside early in the trip, and he just started asking questions about where I was from, what it was like. He focused on two main things, though, that he really wanted to pump me for information for. One was he wants to be a pilot. So he asked me every question under the sun about becoming a pilot. I didn't have many answers for him there. And also about leading music at church. So those were his two main focuses. But as he was talking, this kid was driven. This kid was a sponge, right? And there is no doubt that one day he'll be flying planes during the week and worshiping on Sunday mornings. Let's see here. Now, the second reason for going was getting my daughter involved, Brayden, here. I wanted her to experience what I experienced, of course, in my life and doing work for the Lord. And it wasn't just a desire of mine, but I also felt like a responsibility as a Christian father. And I could not have been prouder of Brayden and seeing her work with the students and worshiping and teaching them to play the ukulele. We became much closer as father and daughter on this trip, and we'll have memories for life. I've come away from this trip as a stronger believer and father. This trip was just, I consider this trip just the beginning. It won't be my last. I have a definite desire to continue in whatever capacity I can, doing work for the Lord. I encourage everyone here, step out of your comfort zone, take a risk, participate in a mission like this. There is no doubt that whatever that mission will be, the impact on your life and walk with Christ will be extraordinary.
Okay, so my trip to Uganda will be something I remember for the rest of my life, and it's probably the best thing I've ever done so far. It brought me closer to God in many ways and closer to my church family. God used us in so many ways while we were there. The genuine joy that the children expressed when they first saw us, like, really filled my heart with love for God. And, like, he made those children. He gave them that joy, and that they were so happy to see us. And you just knew, like, those were God's children when you saw them. Like, it was radiating off of them, everything they did, like, everything they said, like, and they knew they were God's children. Like, that was their whole identity. And I didn't get the chance to go to the refugee camp in Adjumani, but when they came back, they were they were so much closer together and so much closer with the volunteers that they went with. And I could tell that that experience had really, like, changed them. And they were, like, family with the people they had gone with now. And I can only assume that the refugees had felt blessed by their presence as well there. And I was personally impacted by many ways on the trip. The number one difference was I did realize how lucky we are that we live here, how we live, and that we were born here. And because we did home visits while we were there in Entebbe, and the homes were very, very small, very compact, and there were large families living in these, like, one-room houses, which also doubled as, like, their store, which is also how they made their livelihood. And it made you think, like, what if this was my condition of how I lived? What would I do? How would I feel? And my answers to those questions did not mirror the way that the families there lived. They were so content with how they lived. They were joyful. They were so proud of that their sons and daughters could join the choir, and they couldn't ask for anything more. And the questions came back again to me. If I was their child, if I had gotten a chance to go to ACC in that, what would I think? Like, would I be proud of that education? Like, here the children aren't, like, so excited to go to school like the children there. And they, and they were so, so very proud that they could achieve that education. And another experience that was very humbling to us occurred at ACC during the Sunday church service we prepared for the children. The kids were giving their testimonies, and one child said that before he came to ACC, like, he went to a bad school, like, he did not like it at all, they were not teaching him well, and his father told him to pray every night that he would go to a good school, a better school, and he would like pray on his knees and cry to God every night that he would go, that he would be able to go to a better school, like, afford a better school. And then he ended it with saying, "Now I go to the best school in the country," which is very, like, just very humbling and everything. Like, he was so excited to just go there, and that God, like, gifted that to him, that he prayed so much to go to a good school, and then he finally made it. And final thoughts to leave with you guys. If you're ever considering ongoing a mission trip, if you ever have the opportunity to go, you need to take that chance and take the opportunity. Because it's, like, the best thing ever.
So as we wrap up this morning, thank you for seeing and watching kind of a little bit of what we experienced. These are the actual testimonies written by those children. I'm just going to lay them here. If you want to take a look at those, they're pretty encouraging for sure. So thank you for sending us to Uganda. You can see clearly that the Lord worked in and through us in really amazing ways. And so it was by some personal support, as well as friends and family giving financially, as well as the gift from the mission budget of this church. So that helped us to get there, give us beds to sleep in, and have food to eat while we were there. So thank you for contributing to that. You know, as Karen mentioned, right now, choir number 47 is on tour in Canada. Choir number 48 is in Entebbe, preparing for their tour. And by God's grace, there will be thousands more children impacted for years to come through the African Children's Choir ministry. And you know, we're currently working on some ways to build an ongoing partnership with ACC. Because when we can help them, it's another way that we can be faithful to Jesus's command to make disciples of all nations, because we're entrusting them to do that there, and we can be a part of that. So our partnership will probably and very likely include financial support in the future. So if you're giving to the missions budget, we're going to be giving some of that to African Children's Choir as we make some decisions about that. So continue, please, to give to our missions budget. And as well as has been mentioned, they would love us to come back. And we're looking at a partnership of maybe going every couple of years. So I encourage you, as many have already said, you can begin praying right now if it will be you standing up giving a slightly shorter report, you know, in a couple of years from now, in 2019. So please begin praying about that and see that. So, you know, in Revelation chapter 7, it says, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed with white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" So until we see that day, we will be about God's work of making disciples across the world, all the way to Africa. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much. We just give you praise for the vastness of your creation, the vastness of your love for your people. Some that speak languages, all different languages and all different skin colors and all different cultures. Lord, you are so creative, and we give you praise for that. We thank you for the chance to get on an airplane and fly 24 hours and be in another culture with your children, and be encouraged by that. That's a gift in itself, Lord, that you've allowed our eyes to see that and our feet to touch that part of your world. So thank you for that blessing. Lord, I pray for the African Children's Choir, for their ministry, that you may continue to encourage them, continue to provide all of the things that they need, all the funding to continue to do the very important work of helping those children today so they can help Africa tomorrow. Lord, we just entrust all of what we're doing, what we've said here today to you, that you will put it into the hearts of the people who have heard this morning. Impact all of us as we go out this morning to continue to proclaim your good news in all the ways, in every opportunity that we have. And we want to honor you with what we do in the week. In Jesus' name, amen.